Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, the Ouija board predicted something horrible would happen, and it did. Was it a coincidence?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Do you have a real ghost story? Maybe a Ouija board story? Share it with us, 855-853-4802, or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And remember, if you want to be a premium subscriber, you could do that. There's no commercials. You get all the advanced episodes. You get access to the complete archive. Sign up through Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free there. You could also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon's here. And you know, something that we don't hear very often is, where are the good Ouija board stories? Does anybody have one that was like, we had the most fun one night playing with a Ouija board, and like, we asked who I was going to marry, and it said, you're going to marry Devin.
I know it said Bob.
But it's like, because Bob's so easy to spell.
I think so.
But then I married Devin, and we had
a lazy Ouija board. Yeah. It was very lazy.
I mean, if you're asking it for, you know, questions that you want to know, did anybody ever have a happy one that was like, man, it was so awesome what it told me. You know, I did go buy a lottery ticket, and I became rich, and I am
so
happy.
Who cares about those?
I would really like to hear one that was kind of a positive experience.
Okay, we'll throw that out there to the universe and see if any of our listeners call in with a good Ouija board story. But quite honestly, I like a good little dark Ouija board story. We haven't had one for quite a while, so I was excited when you mentioned that in the title. Today is 4424.
Okay.
That's a lot of fours.
Yes.
I was thinking about today, and I was thinking, do you have a lucky number?
I don't really know. I do play certain numbers, like if I'm picking numbers for my own Powerball ticket.
Okay.
I kind of will default to the same numbers. But
I always say my lucky number 7. I like 7. So I think I should do a Powerball number that's like 7, 27, or 17, 27, 37, 40, like that, you know. I was thinking about, you know, whether there were, how much people believe in numerology, and if there's, you know, some good numerology stories wandering around too.
Oh, there's got to be. Because there are people totally into that.
Yeah, I'd like to hear some of those.
Well, let's go to this Ouija board story, because it says,
I love Ouija board.
Have you ever played, that's in quotes, with a Ouija board? If not, and then this is in caps, I do not recommend trying it. This is my story, and this is why. Back in 2007, I was finishing my sophomore year in high school. It was the last day of school, and a couple of my friends, Brooke and Lee, and I decided to leave school early. Lee had a cousin, who we were all friends with, who was already out of school, so she called him and had him come pick us up. We didn't really have anything to do, but Jay, Lee's cousin, needed to go to Walmart to pick up a camera that he'd been wanting. It was a normal trip. We got the camera, then headed back to my house to hang out for a little bit. We had a few more friends coming over later in the evening. The four of us were in my room, and we somehow got on the topic of the paranormal and experiences we had had. I had never truly experienced firsthand anything paranormal, but I was always a believer. I'm a huge paranormal and horror movie fan. I mentioned, I've always wanted to try out a Ouija board. And to my surprise, all three of them felt the same way and were intrigued by the idea. So we got the bright idea to go pick one up and try it out. I mean, why not? What's the worst thing that could happen? We loaded up in Jay's car and headed towards the mall. We looked up online places to buy one, and the only place we could find was Spencer's. We got the board, went back to my house, we went upstairs, sat on the floor, took the board and planchette out, put our fingers on it, and just sat in silence for a moment. What should we ask? I said. Before we started asking questions, I think we should all vow not to move ourselves to scare each other. Let's see if it really works. Jay replied, We all agree. So we started. Is anyone there? Does anyone want to talk? The planchette barely moved. It maybe moved an inch. So someone does want to talk? I said, and the planchette moved to yes. We all looked at each other and swore up and down that none of us were moving it. What's your name? Someone asked. I cannot for the life of me remember the name, but I do remember it was a male name, and they were also very nice and fun to talk to. We talked to him for about 30 minutes, but then it randomly started taking a darker turn. The planchette started spelling out cuss words like bitch and fuck, and we knew we weren't talking to that nice guy anymore. What's your name? I refuse to even spell it out. Just thinking about the name sends chills down my spine. And then in caps, guys, don't talk to him, Lee shouted. We were all surprised and scared by her exclamation that we took our hands off the planchette without even saying goodbye, which is really not good in case you didn't know. It can open a door. Why? We all basically said at once. He's an evil entity, a demon. He feeds off negativity and sadness, she answered. We were all pretty freaked out. We were hesitant, but we decided to keep playing. When we put our fingers back on the planchette, it immediately spelled out, hi. We asked, what's your name? It spelled out the name Saraja or something like that. I'm not sure how to say it. Brooke and Lee freaked out. Brooke had some strange things going on in her house a while back, and Lee had helped her do some EVPs. They heard a little girl's voice, and it said that same name. They did more digging about the property her house was on and found out there was a Native American burial ground on their property. Man, this has the two key components to any creepy story, Ouija board and Native mm-hmm. American burial ground. Mm-hmm. They called some people in and got some bones removed from the property, and there was the skull of a little girl. They both asked her all kinds of questions, and they asked her to move Brooke's hair. As we waited patiently, we watched as Brooke's hair swayed back and forth like someone was touching it. We didn't know what to think of it. We asked a few more questions, and that's when things started taking a dark turn again. We started getting cuss words spelled out to us. At this point, our other friends had arrived at my house, and they were pretty upset. They didn't want anything to do with the board, and one of my close friends and I got into a huge fight. She ended up leaving and taking everyone but the four of us with her. But it was like we didn't care. We were obsessed with the board. We couldn't stop playing with it. The board spelled out, ha ha, when we were all fighting like it was happy about it. At one point, it said it was going to show itself, and when we asked how, it spelled out KJ. I freaked out. Those are my sister's initials. It then went to no and then said it would show itself at 5 a.m. It also told us that something would happen to one of us when we turned 18. We finally decided it was time to stop. We took the board and planchette to the side of a hill that had a river at the bottom of it that was outside my house. We tried to burn it, but it wouldn't burn, so we decided to tear it up and break it in half. We did the same thing with the planchette. As we were throwing it down the hill, we saw some weeds moving and heard rustling like something was coming up the hill. It was dark out, so it scared us pretty bad. Lee was turned a different way and she screamed. What? She said, I just saw a black figure run behind us. Please tell us you're joking, Lee. No, I don't think she's joking. And we all took off running back to my house. Thank goodness Lee and Brooke were staying all night with me. We just had to take Lee to get some clothes from her house, and Jay said he would take us, and we decided to grab the box with the instructions that the board came in so we could dispose of them. We were driving down a backcountry road and just threw the box with the instructions out the window. We got back to my house. Jay left. We were all tired, so we decided to just lay down and go to sleep. I was woken up out of nowhere by Lee and Brooke. They had both woken up at the same time, 4:58 a.m. We were scared. We looked around, afraid we might see something, and I decided to just roll over and go back to sleep. Nothing really happened for a week until I went over to Brooke's house to stay all night. I was changing my jeans in her room, and I was making sure my money wasn't in my pocket. I felt something weird and ripped up, so I pulled it out. It was the instructions to the Ouija board that we had thrown out the window with a box. How they got there, I will never know. Another thing that happened was when I was in my room alone watching TV with only a lamp on that was plugged in beside my closet, I saw something out of the corner of my eye and glanced over. The cord jerked out of the wall, leaving the room pitch black. I ran out and never went back in there alone. Also, my mom told me, she didn't know we used the board, that she had gone into my room to get something, and when she walked by my closet door, she felt like something was staring her down. We eventually moved, but no matter where I go, something follows me. The evil entity doesn't, thank goodness. It still lurks in the house. I know a girl who moved in the house, and she has sent me videos of things moving in her room and something banging on her door and trying to get in. Her room is right below my old bedroom. But whatever follows me doesn't have a problem letting me know it's there, whether it's rummaging through my closet like it's looking for something or waking me up in the middle of the night with a loud noise. November 23, 2009, Brooke was killed in a car accident. She turned 18 on September 19, 2009. It was something that completely shook me to my core, and to this day, I still haven't gotten over it. I sometimes regret messing with the board because maybe she would still be here if we hadn't messed with the evil entity. That's from Shelby. I'm going to say, I don't know. You know, it's so, I don't know that because they messed with the board is why she passed away. But it is super creepy that it did say something would happen to someone when they turned 18 and then that horrible thing. Because that happened to all of them probably at 18 if they were all the same age, because they're all living with the grief.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all going through trauma. So that is creepy. I don't think that it was predicted.
Was what made that happen, though.
Yeah.
Do you?
No.
I mean, I think possibly, you know, okay, maybe this is a coincidence. Maybe it's something else. But if, let's say that it foretold the future. Okay, it foretold the future. It didn't make that happen.
Right.
You know? Even if we would say that somehow it predicted something that was going to happen, not that it was going to make that happen. So I don't live with that kind of guilt. Is you know my thought there.
And who knows that you know maybe those were the same jeans that she was wearing that night, and maybe one of her friends, like as a joke, kind of stuff that. The instructions in the pocket, maybe she had them in her hand without thinking, stuffed them in her pocket. I mean, that could happen. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how. Did they watch the instructions go out the window too?
Or did, you know, one of them have the instructions and not realize it? They thought they threw the box and the instructions out, but one of the friends had it, borrowed her jeans one time or something, and, you know, or something. I mean, maybe there's a way those got into there. It's hard to see it, but, you know, maybe.
I don't know. And then I, you know, do you think that, you know, she's having these paranormal experiences and the girl who moved into her old house is having paranormal experiences? Do you think that it's connected to this Ouija board experience?
I just think probably that there's something in the house. Now, did the Ouija board, you know, kind of connect to that spirit that's in the house? Maybe, you know, and maybe there was a little bit of that going on there. But it appears that the house itself had something.
But she moved, and she said, no matter where I go, something follows me. The evil entity
doesn't.
But
she said it's not the bad thing.
Yeah. So I guess that still lurks in the house.
Yeah. I think whatever that was stayed there at that house. And... but she does say that there's something that she feels connected to that's with her. And I get that. I feel that way, too, with me.
Do you think this is all connected to the Ouija board? Or is it coincidental?
I don't think it. I think it's that maybe the Ouija board was a conduit for whatever's there. I don't think the Ouija board started as...
because did they open something? Did they bring something in by playing with the Ouija board?
I don't think so, because they
maybe
talked
it was
about
already
that
there.
There had already been a didn't they say? Or was that a friend's house? That they'd already done some investigating because of a little girl that they'd heard.
Let me see.
But that might have been the friend's house, not the house that she lived in.
Brooke had strange things going on in her house.
Yeah.
And they heard the little girl's voice in her house. But it does sound like that's who came through on the board because it was the same name.
This is just
all a public service announcement about why you don't play with Ouija boards. I mean, here we are dissecting this. Could it be the Ouija board? So
could it be?
Because we're having this discussion, here's the thing. If you don't play with Ouija board, then you can roll that out.
You know what? I have never, ever, ever once had somebody say, I've had trouble with a spirit. Do you think it was that Monopoly board?
Right. So play Monopoly.
Monopoly, and life.
And my best friend, one of our friends got him RuPaul's Drag Race Monopoly.
There you go.
Play that. I mean, just think of the fun you'll have.
That's right.
Buying drag bars or whatever it is that you buy instead of Boardwalk. I'm going to guess you're going to buy drag queen performance venues. I don't know. So if you want to not have to question it, just don't play with them. And Shelby started out with this. Have you ever played with a Ouija board? If not, I do not recommend trying one. This is my story and this is why.
Mm-hmm.
So just take it from Shelby.
Yeah.
So here's the next story. It says, my name is Gloria. I live in Grand Junction, Colorado. The story I am about to tell you is kind of confusing to even me sometimes, so I hope everyone can keep up. It started about 10 years ago. My parents built their house from the bottom up, and on occasion, my dad would be working on the house by himself. From the corner of his eye, he would see someone walking by. He would immediately chase it to see who it was, and there would always be no one to be found. It took about a year and a half to finally finish the house, and my whole family moved in. I was about 16 at the time, and it was exciting until 6 months into living there. We would hear bangs and booms and find wooden spoons and other random things in the same place on the kitchen floor. I was about 19 when I started seeing things. The first time I saw a little girl, I left my bedroom door open that faced the hallway. She was a small blonde girl about 6 years old with clothes that looked like someone would wear in the 1920s. She was glowing with a bluish light. I saw her in the same place about 3 more times within the next month, and each time, as soon as I closed my eyes and opened them again, she would disappear. I decided to talk to my dad and sister about it. I said, "Has anyone seen anything weird in the hallway?" And that's when my dad said, "Yeah, I've seen a little Indian girl." Me and my sister froze, and that's when she said, "I've seen a little girl with pigtails." We compared stories, and the only thing that matched was the fact that we had all seen a little girl about the same age. A few months after that day, I was sick with strep throat and had a hard time sleeping. When I finally started to drift off, I was suddenly woken up by the scariest feeling ever that to this day I can only describe as bone chilling. When I opened my eyes, I saw a man standing over me about 6 feet tall, just staring at me. He had the same blue glow as the little girl, but didn't look friendly in the least. He was glaring at me, and the feeling he gave off was so bad, I closed my eyes so tight and began praying. When I opened them, he was gone, and I was terrified to sleep in my room after that. Nothing happened to me after that, and a year later, I moved out. My parents still live there and say sometimes they can't find things or things are moved randomly. I don't know if that's something paranormal or just their old age forgetfulness. To this day, I wonder if all those entities were the same person or different. What do you all think? Keep up the awesome podcast, Gloria. So, I don't know. I think it's interesting that 3 of them saw a little girl that looked nothing alike, but about the same age.
Yeah, but it was a little girl.
Yeah, they all saw
that was
a little
the only
girl.
Thing in common.
They all saw apparitions, which is kind of unusual.
Yeah.
But they all saw young different girls. I've never heard a story quite like that.
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure like what to think of that. Like, was it presenting itself differently? Just depending on who saw it, and that was their interpretation of it. You know what I mean? Like, or I don't know. It's weird that they would see three different little girls.
Yeah. I just don't know what that is. And
I know.
I just think that's so unusual because I've never heard a story quite like that.
Yeah.
And then she opens her eyes and sees a man standing over her, just staring at her. Blue glow as the little girl, but not friendly. Like, that's freaky shit.
He had been sick. Could it have been a fever dream?
It could be. I've had those when you have, and strep throat, I get incredibly sick with that. And I don't want it again.
You can get a pretty high fever.
I've had it with a really high fever. And sometimes when you get those high fevers, you do have bizarro dreams.
Yeah.
But I don't know. She doesn't seem to think it was a dream.
Yeah.
She calls it bone chilling. It does sound bone chilling. I'll go with her on that. But I think it's interesting that her parents still live there, but sometimes they can't find things or things are moved randomly. That's not necessarily paranormal. But after, like, the dad seeing things as they were building it, it is interesting that they're not having more experiences now. But also, I've talked to people who say they've gone a couple years without any experiences and then it happens again. So it's not like it's all the time, every day. It could be months and years in between.
Which I think is absolutely right. And I always think that it's kind of odd of us to think that everything goes on our timeline.
Right.
It has to happen
every day.
Yeah. Well, why didn't it happen? It happened, you know, a week ago or whatever. Well, you know what? A week, 10 years, what? I don't know what kind of how time passes, right? In a different altered state. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. So I think it's odd for us to think that everything would just line up that way. I think like the house that I live in right now, it seems like I'll go for a couple months and then I'll go through a spell of several things happening that, you know, I go, that's weird. And then it kind of quits. And then maybe it starts up again. So I don't know that there's a rhyme or reason.
But this is one of those stories that kind of is an answer to all of those people who write in and say, but it was a new house.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is one of those stories about a new house. It looks like there was something going on there on that land.
Yeah.
In Grand Junction, Colorado, there would be Native Americans.
And that is just kind of a, if you've ever driven out there, you know, in the mountains at night and everything, it's just a kind of a little bit of a desolate, kind of lonely kind of landscape. It's beautiful, but it is, you know, it's overwhelming, the landscape. And I can just feel it that, you know, it would have some hauntings to it.
Yeah, because lots of things happened there before we started building houses.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just think that's so interesting that everybody saw a little girl.
But not the same little girl, or, you know, was it their perception of that little girl?
But to see an apparition is pretty unusual, really. And for all three of them to see an apparition of a little girl, but it's not the same girl. I find that fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, if you have a real ghost story, we would like to hear it. Call it in 855-853-4802 or write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And remember, you could become a premium subscriber. No commercials, advanced episodes. You'll have access to every episode ever. And that's like 5,000 of them. And you can sign up through Apple Podcasts, try it 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.